I'm a retired state of Minnesota employee, so therefore I can spend the amount of time necessary to keep up with the needs of my brother at the nursing home, because I can go over there like once a day if I want to, or, you know, I have a lot of freedom to go over there now that things have opened up.
Mm-hmm. And you're you yourself live in an assisted living?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Got it. Is it within walking distance?
With yes.
Quick drive?
Yes, it's connected by a door.
Great. So how long would it take you to get there?
5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
Very quickly I could get there.
Great. And so you have a brother in a nursing home. Can you tell me a little bit about your brother and your relationship with your brother?
Well, he likes Batman and he likes Spider-Man and Marvel Comics. He's very bright in a lot of ways. He has a very friendly personality. He's not difficult to deal with. He has no temper tantrums or anything like that. And for the most part, he likes people. So because of the illness, it has slowed him down. But prior to that, I mean, he always got to know. I mean, he always reached out to people. You know, he'd be in a, like, let's say, he'd reach out to somebody, oh, how are you? You know, and things like that.
Thanks. And you mentioned he's into comic books, Marvel. How were those hobbies and those interests? And you mentioned he seems very sociable, likes reaching out to people. From what you saw, and I don't know how much you saw, but from what you saw, how were his hobbies and interests and social life impacted by the pandemic?
Well, very isolated. I mean, I couldn't go and see him in person. And from the time that things shut down until that was like in February 2019, then in May of 2019, my brother was diagnosed with COVID. And so he went up to the second floor to the COVID unit, and then he was there. And of course, he couldn't see anybody, and it was very hard, you know. And then they hooked me up with him by FaceTime on a Saturday when things were pretty difficult for him. And so I was able to see him at that time. But just the idea that I couldn't communicate with him or know exactly what was going on, you know, was really kind of unsettling. I think they did a pretty good job of taking care of him, but what things went wrong, I don't know. But anyway, so then on the 18th of June, he went back down to the second floor, down to the first floor, where he got a roommate of his choice. So he's happy with that. So he has his small group of friends over here. He's more isolated now. He doesn't, of course, having Parkinson's and that, he's less outgoing. And I find him sometimes more difficult to understand, but he can do it. I mean, I can understand what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So, but he likes cowboy movies and,
did he, do you know if he got to, like, if he was still getting access to these magazines and to these cowboy movies during?
Oh, yes, yes. I was the one who got the magazines are delivered to my address.
Okay.
And so then I don't remember exactly what I did. I must, maybe somebody came to the door and I handed it to them.
Okay.
Maybe that's what I did. The cowboy movies are on television.
Okay.
And so he could watch the TV station. And he does have DVDs, but he runs into trouble because he can't make them work. I mean, he doesn't have the physical, you know, he shakes too much to make things work the right way. So he's in a bind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm over there, you know, I could get it set up, you know, so we could watch a DVD.
Right.
And that, but.
You're seeing him how regularly now? And my follow-up question will be, How infrequently were you seeing him during the lockdown stage of
all? Well, then after he got back downstairs to first floor, then we had it set up so I could see him on FaceTime twice a week. Mm-hmm. And because I have an iPad and they had a couple iPads over there, so I could see him that way. But to actually see him physically, that, let's see, when did that start? That started like in October, maybe October, because then here in Minnesota, they had the program called Essential Caregiver, or now they call it Compassionate Caregiver. But anyway, it's a program whereby one family member or one friend could be designated to go in and see that person and visit with them. And I did it like twice a week, I think. And so I started doing that right away. You know, we wore your mask and everything, of course, but.
Yeah.
So in November, I started seeing him again in person.
Did you notice any changes from 6 months before?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The Parkinson's took a nosedive and leveled off. And so his Parkinson's got considerably worse. And from what it was before. And I don't know if the COVID hastened that process, no doubt, but you know, you can't prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to separate the effect of the isolation. And as you mentioned, he contracted it, and it's hard to isolate this.
He was lonely, and other friends now, you know, other than me, I'm the only one that has seen him so far. But now we're open up enough whereby some other people could come and see him, you know, if they wanted to, and we don't wear a mask.
Yeah. How do you think the loneliness and isolation manifested in his personality and also,
anxiety? I think he got very anxious and easily agitated, things like that. Anxiety is a big problem. I don't think he would be quite so anxious and depressed as he was being isolated like that.
Right. Now that you are seeing him more regularly, are things looking up at all, or is it plateaued, or how would you describe it?
I think things have plateaued. They haven't gotten any worse. I think he gets anxious when there's a change, you know, like if he likes to know what's going to happen.
I know there's a lot more that we didn't get into. But I just want to give you a chance. Is there anything you want to mention that I haven't asked you about that you haven't mentioned? Because you're in.
I'm in assisted living.
Yeah, you're in assisted living.
And it was hard for me, mm-hmm. because I can be quite active, and not being able to go and do what I wanted to do, and then always having to wear a mask when I left my apartment, and two in the elevator, and all that kind of stuff. It just got to be, gotten to be too much.
What kind of activities do you like to do that were affected by?
Monthly birthday parties. And they usually were held in the cafeteria. And then they went to the door. I mean, they'd come to the door and give you your cake and ice cream for the May birthdays, for example. Now they've started that up again. So that was one thing. And then they started playing bingo again. And Paul liked to play bingo. And he does win. And they can pick out their prize. And he picks out some good prizes.
What's so has he won bingo since things have been open?
Yes, he did. Okay. He has won bingo.
What was the prize?
Oh, let's see. Paul had won this teddy bear at bingo, and so he wanted to give it to me. So I took it upstairs, but I had to wait 3 days before I could open it up. And so then I got a teddy bear. It was hard because Because, and see, one thing about living in an assisted living in Minnesota, which I found out, I didn't know before, is that when it has assisted living and independent living, it's advertised that way. Well, then I'm not using their services right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm independent living. But because there are people in this facility that use their services, they have to go by the standards of the nursing home, mm-hmm. more or less. So, because see, there's not a separate wing for the assisted living people. I mean, like my next door neighbor might be using assisted living or services like giving out medication or things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't, but because we're all scattered, you know, we're all intermixed. I fell under the restrictions of the nursing home, more or less. And I didn't like that. So, and I didn't know that when I moved in, but see, I couldn't have stopped it anyway, because I was in, I only had 2 months and I to find something for Paul. And I mean, it's winter and, you know, so I did what I had to do, but I don't know, assisted living, they do a little bit of misadvertising or deceptive advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds tricky. But yeah, it sounds like you're, of course I'm not there, but it sounds like you're navigating it to the best that you
can. Oh yeah, yeah. Now I can go out on the bus and city mm-hmm. bus and things like that. So
yeah.
I can move around a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. It was good. You bring a unique perspective, because we've been talking to family members and we've been talking to residents, but we haven't. This is a unique, because you live in an assisted living and your brother lives in a nursing home, and you really, I think, conveyed the experience in a way that I hope stands out to people.